Turn in your Bibles to the book of Amos. I did not know when I started the book of Amos how it would turn out. Turns out Amos is very plain. He's very straight to the point. You'll see what I mean when you hear what we're talking about this morning. It's interesting. And now would be a good time to remember the Bible is God's word, because what you're about to hear, you're going to think, how could anyone say stuff like that? And you need to remember, this is God talking now. Amos chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word. So the second sermon, I think, in Amos 3, started off with hear this word. Amos chapter 4, hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. Kine are cows. Kine are cows. Specifically, you'll see they're female cows. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks. And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord. All right, what you just read there is a country preacher addressing high society women in Samaria and calling them heifers. What I said was, it's going to be very important that you remember these are God's words and not some guy's words. Because this is God speaking, and the tendency is going to be, well, how could anyone be so harsh? How could anyone say something like that? Remember, this is God saying this. So, all that said, we'll dig in and we'll go through these verses. But let's pray before we do that. And then we'll preach on Israel's high society heifers. Okay, but let's pray. Father, I beg you please to be in this service, Lord, that you would open up our eyes to what we need to see. Help me, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, I lift up Barry. I pray that you would give him grace and comfort and help as he's feeling bad this morning, Lord. And I think Sam's feeling bad too, Lord, that you'd heal up his body. Lord, I pray that you'd provide, make provisions for the bonds as they go through the chemotherapy and just the treatments that are going to have to be done in the upcoming months. Lord, I pray this morning, if anybody here is not saved, this may not necessarily be a salvation message, but I pray that anybody here is not saved, today would be the day of their salvation, and they'd understand their sin before a holy God and understand what Jesus Christ has done to take away their sin. And Lord, I pray that the words we read and go over this morning would be received as your words and not the words of some man, not the words of some guy preaching, but the words that came from your mouth. And Lord, I pray that it would be received that way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, most of you would hear something like that. Most of us, we would all probably hear something like that. What Amos just said to Israel's Samaria, particularly the high society women, and he addresses them as cows, specifically heifers. And you would hear something like that and say, how could anyone talk like that? We would all say that. and just say that Amos, man, that guy is out there. He is so radical. He really. I mean, he has no care for what people think. He's definitely not trying to build a congregation. You know, he's not trying to get people to show up to church. He is just preaching what God told him to preach. And so when he addresses these women, they are women who are making decisions. They are women in prominence. They are drunks. They are busybodies. They are gossips. They are greedy. They demand a certain lifestyle. And they are void of honor. And they live to eat, to drink, to sleep, and to be in control. And that's what you just read about. They are... When Amos says what he says, and remember, this is God speaking, and it'll be very important to remember that. I think sometimes when you come to the Bible, I'll say this. Maybe you'll understand what I mean when I started saying this. I've gone through the book of Amos before, but I've never seen some of the things I've seen lately. And that's how it's been going through these books of the Bible. I'm learning stuff I've never seen before. And that's good. That's the way it ought to be. You ought to grow. You ought to see things. It shouldn't be, okay, well, we did this one 5 years ago. Let me just rehash that one. All those things need to be repeated. But it's also important to eat meals on a regular basis and not rely on something 10 years ago. And so going through this book, you find out Amos was a farmer turned preacher. His sole purpose in life at this point is just to be a vessel for God to speak through. He's not trying to build a group of people. He's not trying to pastor a church or get people in the door. He is simply a prophet that is preaching what God said to preach. As far as, and not that getting people in the door is a bad thing, but if you gotta ignore what God said to do it, then it's not good. So there's three things in here in these three verses that Amos deals with, and really the Lord deals with. The first thing is that these women that he's addressing, they love and they live for control. That's their life. To be the decision makers, to they are obsessed with what we would call empowerment. You know, that's the modern terminology. They're obsessed with empowerment. They are liberated. They are, I don't know if you could say they're feminists, maybe even country club feminists. These are high society people, and they are obsessed with control. They are dictators. You see that in verse 1. They are demanding. They are drunkards. And you'll see some of that, the characteristics of these women. You'll see in verse 2, the women have become pieces of meat. When God says through Amos, I will take you out by hooks, the only place a piece of meat or a cow and a hook go together is in a butcher shop when they're hung up. And he says, he will take you away with hooks, meaning what you are is beef now. That's rough. A good thing it's not Mother's Day, I guess. I don't know, man. This is rough. And then the last thing is, and I'll develop these points, but the last thing is they go out at the places in the wall or the fence that they themselves destroyed. They destroyed it, and they are carried out on hooks through those places. And I'll explain all that stuff. But the message is pretty. I mean, you guys have probably heard enough already. I mean, the message is pretty simple. Amos addresses these women. Here's the characteristics. Look in verse 1. He says, "Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan that are in the mountain of Samaria. Number one, which oppress the poor." So they are dictators. This is where we get, they love control. They want control. They're dictators. So they abuse their position. Their oppression is just, it's unjust exercise of authority. A dictator will burden people with unreasonable financial burdens because he can, because he has the power to do so. He just says something. Well, that's how these women are. They're just dictators. It says they oppress the poor, so apparently they're women of some social status. They have an ability to oppress the poor. They have an ability to stand on the heads of other people. He says they would oppress the poor. They use the money they have to keep people without money away from the office they hold or whatever the title they have or position they have. Not because they know they're doing a good job, just because they want to be the ones in power. We talk about some of that in Sunday school. It's amazing. You know, people want to be, people who know Jesus Christ would make better decisions than they would, still don't want Jesus Christ making decisions because they just don't want to be told what to do. And they just don't want to change me on the throne for him on the throne. So here's these women, they're dictators, they're demanding. Look in verse 1 again. Which oppress the poor, which crush the needy. So they trample over whoever gets in their way. They destroy people who can't defend themselves. I mean, without hesitation, they just destroy people's lives. Without hesitation, if you're in my way, I will ruin your life. I mean, we've seen some of that going on in the last few weeks. You just destroy someone's life just because they pose a threat to your power. That's the only reason. That'll be the only reason. So they're dictators. They're demanding. Look at the end of verse 1. They're drunks, which say to their masters, "Bring, let us drink." That's Greek for, "Let's have another round here." You know, that's what that means. Hey, bring us another round here. While we're making decisions, let's have some more. While we're trying to run the society, let's have another round of drinks. They say to their masters, "Bring, let us drink." So you got, they're dictators, they're demanding, they're drunks, they are high society women. And Amos says, or God through Amos, let me remind you of that, this is God speaking, he calls them cows, he calls them more specifically heifers. Female cows. They drink. They demand. They dictate, and all in the name of power. All in the name of power. Here's a, you want to be a. There's a lot of talk about being strong women these days and things like that. There's some verses about how you be a strong woman. In fact, I want to show them to you just to contrast this. Look over in Proverbs 31 real quick. Be good to see the contrast, the opposite of what Amos is dealing with here. Proverbs 31, verse 10. You know, you don't get honor by demanding honor. You don't get respect by demanding respect. That stuff is earned unless you're a dictator. That stuff is earned over time. Now here's the opposite of what Amos is addressing. Proverbs 31 verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. This is a woman writing this. Or a woman saying this. This isn't a man saying this. This is a mother saying this. Look down over there in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. You want strength? Well, strength doesn't come by you demanding strength. And honor doesn't come by you demanding honor. Honor is earned and strength is earned. And strength is built. So notice all these verses, 11 through 24, 25, is a description of what she's doing. She's a virtuous woman. She's accomplished. She's done some things with her life. She's not bossy. She's taken care of her responsibilities. And she's the opposite of what Amos is dealing with in Amos chapter 4. The opposite is someone who just demands honor, steps on whoever needs to be stepped on in order to get their way, and crushes whoever needs to be crushed if they get it in the way of the decision-making process, if they try to get the throne. So the first thing to notice back in Amos chapter 4 and verse 1, God just lays out the characteristics. Again, remember, this is God speaking. This isn't me speaking. This isn't Amos speaking. Although it is Amos speaking, this is God speaking through Amos. So he lays out some characteristics. The characteristic is the main characteristic. They love control, and they live to control. Second thing, verse 2. Because of their character, because of what they've done. Now remember, these are God's people. Israel is God's people, God's nation. When I say God's people, I mean God's nation. The individuals may not be, apparently are not in a relationship with God. They don't have any inkling of righteousness. They're not interested in righteousness or holiness. They just happen to be a part of a nation that God chose. Now, in Israel, obviously, some of Israel trusted Jesus Christ and saved. Some of Israel didn't. So, I mean, that's a whole other thing. The point is, the nation, God wanted to use the nation as a light to other nations. And now he's dealing with this. People who have no need for God. People who aren't interested in God. And really, he's focused and zeroed his attention on the high society women here. And notice what's happened as a result of what they've done. Verse 2. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. That is the place that cows and hooks come together is in a butcher shop. It's when you're stringing up meat. I'm gonna haul you out on hooks. I'm gonna haul your kids out on fish hooks. Not because I hate you, not because I want to destroy your lives, but because you hate me. And you don't want any part of me. You don't want any part of God. You don't want any part of God's protection. You don't want any part of God's care. Therefore, God's protection will be gone. And now you will just be pulled out as ribeyes and you know, whatever. Brisket. You're just beef now. You've just become pieces of meat. Note, I mean, it's interesting, the contrast. You want honor. You chased honor at any cost, no matter who you had to step on, no matter who you had to destroy, and in the process you lost whatever honor you thought you had. I will haul you out on hooks. I'll haul your kids out on fish hooks. Horrible, horrible. It is a slaughterhouse. No, I mean, I guess you get the word hooked from that. They're hooked. The irony is that they want honor, they want power, they want control, and now have become or will become helpless pieces of meat. Here's a little just a note. The things that you and I are looking for are fruits. They're results of doing the right things. You want for instance, joy. You want joy in your life? Joy is the result of making right decisions, staying close to the Lord, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, and being obedient to God. Those things will produce the fruit of joy. And you can't leapfrog over the responsibilities and get to the results. But that's what people want. We want the results, but we don't want the responsibilities. The things that people are looking for in general are results. But those results came as a result of honored responsibilities. Peace. You want peace with God? Okay, then you have to address the sin between you and God. You can't just jump over the sin and say, hey, now I have peace with God. You don't have peace with God because the thing that's come between you and God is still there. You want the result, the peace, but you don't want the responsibility of dealing with how you get peace. That's these women want honor. They want to be empowered. They want to be the ones in control. But they don't recognize these things are earned. You earn honor. You don't demand honor from people. You earn it. You don't crush people and put yourself in a position of authority and get respect from people. That power will dwindle when someone more powerful than you comes and steps on your head. They seek the results of things, and that's kind of how we do it. We want the results, we just don't want the responsibilities to get the results. They want attention, they want control, they want power. Now, I'm gonna show you a verse. I hope you look at this. For young ladies, some things that you want, I'll show you, they're not achieved by the world's means. Let me show you something. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 8. Remember these women that Amos is talking about, they've become literally pieces of beef. It's a horrible situation. Lamentations chapter 1, verse 8. Please look at this. Young ladies, please look at this. Lamentations 1:8 says this: Jerusalem hath grievously sinned. Lamentations 1:8. Therefore she is removed. Now watch. All that honored her despise her. Why? Because they have seen her nakedness. So the clothes came off. She got attention, but it wasn't the kind of attention that she needed. And all the attention she thought was honor. They want to be close to me. They want to be my friends. Now all that respect has gone out the door because they've seen what they want to see of her. You understand? I mean, it's pretty graphic thing here. The clothes came off. She thought she got a relationship with somebody. And then come to find out, she didn't have a relationship with anybody. In fact, she lost the respect that she was trying to get. essentially, just like the women in Amos, became a piece, literally, a piece of meat. Horrible. God said, this is what happened to Jerusalem. This is how this thing works. All that honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness. She wanted to get the attention, and she got it. But it didn't last, and it wasn't really the attention she was looking for. And whatever respect people had for her has been lost. You know how you want to attract the right men, we can deal with young guys too, but is it women here? The way you get the right attention is you do the right things. You want honor, you want respect. Do it God's way. You can't shortcut it. You can't take your clothes off and get the respect you want. That's not respect. You'll get used like a piece of meat, and then you'll be discarded once you're consumed. And I know that I hate saying this stuff from the pulpit. I hate talking about this stuff. But that's what's in the Bible. This stuff is in the Bible. Amos said this. Back over in Amos. He said, the Lord has sworn by His holiness. You know, when people swear, they swear by the highest thing they can think. You know why people don't swear by Buddha? Because Buddha isn't anything. It doesn't anything. You know why when people want to curse, they say Jesus Christ? Because that's the highest thing that exists. You know why they don't curse by Muhammad? Oh, Muhammad. It sounds stupid. You know why it sounds stupid? Because Muhammad isn't up here. He's down here. He's low on the totem pole. In fact, he ain't even on the totem pole. It's Jesus Christ. And when people want to swear, they swear by Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he's the highest thing. He says that over in Hebrews. I won't show it to you, but I mean, it's in Hebrews. He says when people swear, they swear by the highest thing. So the Lord God has sworn by His holiness. It says, the Lord God has sworn by His holiness that, lo, the days shall come upon you that He will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. Notice, it's an interesting thing the way he puts it. He's not saying, I'm going to make your life miserable. God is not trying to make your life miserable. He wants you to have a happy, joyful, peaceful, fruitful life. He doesn't put a structure, a framework in place so people will be miserable. He puts a framework and a structure in place so people can build and have joy and have righteousness and bear fruit. And he said, look, if you destroy the framework of this thing, you destroy the building. And if you want to destroy the building, if you want to destroy the framework, he said, I'm the creator of this. And if you want to remove the creator and the creator's parameters and the creator's framework, then what you're left with is just a broken down mess. You won't be able to build on it. Whatever honor you think you got out of it is an honor. Whatever riches you think you had out of it will be gone when you're dead. And then you face God after that. The Lord God has sworn by His holiness. The days are coming. And Amos is warning them, the days are coming. If you don't get this thing right, the days are coming where you will literally be hauled out of Samaria as beef. You'll be ribeyes, you'll be briskets, you'll be whatever. But it's just beef now. You're of no use to God. You're of no use. You have not yielded your life to the Lord. You will allow the Lord to work through you, so you will go out as beef on hooks. And the world will use you how the world wants to use you. Why? You don't want anything to do with the Creator. You're not interested in His words. You're not interested in how He can interact in your life. You're not interested in a relationship with you. Therefore, your relationship is now with the world, and to the world, you're beef. That's what you are to the world. To God, you're precious. To God, He wants to do something with you. The soul is precious. He wants to help. He wants to help you grow. But if you don't want that, if you want to have a relationship with the world, this is what you are to the world. A ribeye. This is what you are to the world. A loin. This is what you are to the world. Whatever the other pieces of meat are, I don't know. Hamburger, you're hamburger. Hamburger, ground beef. You get the idea. If you're not interested in a relationship with God Almighty, and you're only interested in a relationship with the world, this is how the world will see you. And this is how the world will use you. And when the world is done with you, you won't have any of the things you searched for. You will have a fruitless life. And the Lord says, He has sworn by His holiness, the days are coming, He's going to haul you out by hooks and your posterity with fish hooks. So notice, it doesn't even just address the ladies, it addresses the children. Your children are going to suffer because of this. Your kids will reap the benefits of your decisions. Hey, but I'm a grades of beef, you know. I'm prime. I'm choice. Whatever else there are, I don't know. Select, standard, grocery store, whatever. But I'm prime. I'm choice. You're still a piece of meat. That's it. That's what you are. Unfortunately, if you're not interested in the things of God, then that's what you are to the things of the world. And then the tragedy of it all is in verse 3. He says, "And ye shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her, and ye shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord." The "them" is the posterity. The cows will go out at the holes in the fence before them, and the posterity will go be thrown into the palace. This is a precursor to what happened to Daniel. Daniel gets hauled off into a palace. Now, Daniel is a good man. Daniel is righteous and Daniel is faithful and he's a good man. He turns out to be a very good man. But he is a product of this. Hauled off into the palace. Some are hauled off and killed. Daniel makes it through. He's godly. But the tragedy of it is this. The cows will be hauled out at the same places they broke down the fences. Where you broke it down, that's where you're going out. There is a, I'll end it with a little story here, because I think you get the point. So we got this horse, and It's always a bad idea to take a horse someone else doesn't want. So we got this horse, and I don't know, a month ago or so, we were out feeding the donkeys. The donkeys are good. We like the donkeys. The horse was gone. And we look out there, and honestly, in the family, most of us were like, "Good." The horse was gone. I walked back in the back pasture and saw, I guess she had been stomping on the fence. It's just T-post and you know, wire fence. She had been stomping on the fence enough to crush it down so that she could pass through it. She had created the hole she was going to walk out of, just like these cows. They put their heads on the fence, they crush the fence, they bulldoze the fence, and then they get out where they make the hole. So she had got out. And she was gone for probably 4 days. I guess 4 days. And one day I was out in the back pasture, and I see this little head bobbing up behind these bushes. I said, wow, that's Betsy. Great. So sister and I, Bethany and I, we called her, and she was in a hurry to get back in. She realized starving and dying of thirst, trapped in some bushes, is not a great idea. So we pushed the fence down, got Betsy back in, unfortunately, and fixed up the fence, put it back together, all that. And I've noticed since she got back in, she's not as anxious to leave anymore. So the point of that is this. She creates the hole that she gets out of, these women. Just like the cows, they make a hole in the fence, and they realize being outside of God's pasture isn't exactly all it's cracked up to be. I'm going to die out here. I'm going to starve out here. I'm going to die of thirst out here. And so when Betsy came back in, she's been very appreciative of having food and water. I mean, more appreciative than she was before, you know. But the idea, the tragedy of it is this. These women here in Amos chapter 4, verse 3, they bulldoze the parameters that God set up. And then they're going to find out that being out in the world isn't all it's cracked up to be. You're going to die out in the world. You're going to dehydrate out in the world. And unlike Betsy, they don't have a choice or a chance to get back in. They're going to be hauled out as beef by the Assyrian, and that will be the end of their lives. Unlike the horse, Betsy had a chance to get back, and now she understands the difference of being in a pasture where you're taken care of versus being outside of that. There's a difference. When you go out into the world, no one cares about you. No one takes responsibility for you. The world will just use you how it needs to use you and then throw you away. But the difference is you can be in a loving pasture where God will take care of you. He will feed you. He'll give you water. You can enjoy your life. You can be fruitful in that. These women in Amos, they don't have that opportunity. But I tell you that story to tell you the tragedy of it is the breaches and the places they tore down the fence is where they left. You tear down the fences God makes, and you're hauled out where you tore down the fences. Wherever you decide, you know what, God, you're an imposition on my life. You know what, it's good not to have these boundaries. Well, where you knock down the fence is where you will be hauled out of the fence. That's these cattle here. It's what he calls them. You shall go out at the breaches, every cow at that which is before her. And worse yet, ye shall cast them, your posterity, into the palace, saith the Lord. Your kids will suffer as a result of that. The next generation suffers. The next generation becomes like mom was. It's a tragedy. This is a bad deal. And Amos is just the messenger. And one thing you need to remember, this is not some preacher preaching or Amos just being antisocial. This is what God said to a group of people. This isn't just, the Bible way back here. This is, some people sometimes can make the Bible so out of touch with reality. Then you realize when the Bible is very applicable and up to date, it's a little bit too personal. Some of this stuff is too up close. It's too in my face. And you understand why people would say, well, back in that culture, that's what happened there. Because when you deal with what's actually being said, it's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. And so Amos is dealing with these high society ladies who love to be in control, and he's simply telling them, this is what's going to happen because you've abandoned God. His protections are off of you. You've run away. You've gone out into your own deal here. You've tore down the place God's made for you. And because of that, now you've gone into a world that is simply going to treat you like meat. And that's what's going to happen. And it's a horrible thing. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know how to give an invitation to that stuff. I don't know. It's rough. It's just rough. But let's do this. Sam, how about you come on to the piano?